Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by my good pal Taylor, the sage, the crow's feet,
what?
The toad eyes to my apothecarium. How are you doing tonight, man?
Why can't you be like the witch to my witcher?
Ooh. I haven't seen The Witcher.
Okay, well.
So, I guess, does he catch witches in that movie? Is that what
Well,
about?
He kills witches.
Oh, he kills witches.
Yeah,
That makes sense.
Kind of, sort of. Either way, he
Why doesn't he fall in love with witches?
Well, no, see, that's the first episode, dude. And then she kind of, you have to watch it. I'll put it to you this way. He sticks his sword in somebody's head. He just pops the handle and the head explodes. If you don't want to see that, I don't know who you are.
Well, see, I like to read the book, so in this case,
okay.
I'm going to play the video game instead. Yeah, I'm going to play the original source
Screw
material.
Screw reading.
Yeah, I'm going to play the... I prefer the video game instead.
That's good.
The video game's always better.
And I'm just going to read the comic book, so it's okay.
Oh, it's a comic, too?
Yeah, it's a comic. They made like 5 issues.
Yeah, there's too much stuff out there.
Dude, it's going for like $35 now.
$35?
$35.
All because of Netflix?
All because of Netflix. It's good. I'm 4 episodes deep. You just have to power through that second episode. The second episode is god-awful.
Can you just skip it?
No.
No?
You can't. That's the problem with it.
Mm.
It's necessary, but it's so bad.
Well, I'm watching football for the consumer of the podcast. And
it's
also
been Christmas, man.
If you listen to the podcast, give it 5 stars. Tell your family. Tell your New Year's kiss. Whisper in her ear. Be like, hey, listen about Red Radio.
You know you
And
what?
Then give her a, give him or her just a big, beautiful, wet kiss.
5 stars.
Yeah, and say five. That's for now. You gotta give the podcast 5 stars. Happy New Year. You know what my New Year's resolution is? To kiss somebody as beautiful as you and listen to the podcast and get more people to give it 5 stars.
5 stars.
There we go. And then, hey, 1201, you like, man, this is gonna be a great decade. And then 1-7-2020 happens. It's like, oh, it's just hell and everything's hell.
Yeah, it's usually just the same. Oh, it's the same next year. Same old things.
Yeah. I can't wait for this decade. I'm so tired of this decade. I'm ready for new things, new experiences. And after like 10 days, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
I will say, though, it's kind of cool, man. 2020.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm excited to dress like a flapper.
What does that mean?
I'm going to wear little sequined dresses.
You're going to do it like back in the day, they did in Paris?
Yeah. And I'm going to smoke cigarettes on that little like handle thing.
And it's kind of dirty.
I'm wearing real dangly earrings as well, too.
Yeah, are you going with your boyfriend?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm going by myself. I'm stacked.
I'm just asking.
I don't need somebody else to carry my handbag, okay? I can carry it myself.
Okay. God.
Yeah. All right.
It's 2020.
It is 2020. So this is week 17 of the NFL season. And we were all so young once, so beautiful. We were hot. We were tan.
I miss it.
Smooth. Yeah, now I weigh 275 pounds. I'm white. I'm pasty. I have the body of a fry cook now. But hey, it's about to be a new year. We'll get hot and young and tan and smooth soon enough. But in the meantime, we still have more football. We have to watch the playoffs. We have to go through this like meaningless week 17, but we'll make it meaningful.
What are you talking about? It's an NFC East battle we got going on.
Well, this is the most important thing, though. The Jameis Winston Triple Crown.
Oh, my.
So last week, what was very important about having last week in that Texans game, he already had the interceptions locked up. He'd have to throw 4 more.
He was so gone.
But he did. He did. And then, but what was most important is that Whitney Merciless sacked him twice. One of the sacks, he just ran out of bounds, a yard short of the first down marker. I was like, please, 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 please.
That's what you wanted.
Counted. So he has 31 touchdowns. He's 5 behind Lamar Jackson with 36. Now, Lamar Jackson's not playing this week. Jameis Winston is playing the Atlanta Falcons.
He's 5 behind?
He's 5 behind.
He's not going to get that.
Wait, no, we don't know. Wait a second. We don't know. He's thrown 5 touchdowns in a game before.
He's not going to do this.
He may actually do it.
I really hope he doesn't do this.
He's thrown 28 interceptions. He's 7 behind Vinny Testaverde for the most of all time. Testaverde threw 35 in a year.
Oh, my God.
I think when he was like 24 or
something. Please stop reminding me of Vinny Interceptaverde.
Yeah, you loved him. No. Second place is Baker Mayfield and Phillip Rivers tied with 18. Now this is a big one. He's been sacked 45 times.
Ooh.
He's tied with Russell Wilson for second. Kyler Murray's first with 46. Kyler Murray got hurt last week with a hamstring injury. Brent Hundley took his place. He's listed as limited in practice right now. He's doubtful to play this Sunday.
But Russell Wilson's still there.
But Russell Wilson's playing against a ferocious 49ers front. They're dealing with offensive line injuries of their own. And again, Jameis Winston's playing against Atlanta. So I think he can do it. I think it's going to be tough. I'm more worried about the sacks than I am the touchdowns.
So I was always going to ask you, how did you feel that the two quarterbacks you were kind of like building up last week just kind of were awful?
I mean, I think Jameis played like Jameis plays.
Oh, yeah? How did Allen play? I see you're not wearing Allen the shirt made, today.
Because they're not playing a game that matters.
Oh, they're not playing a game that matters.
It's not a big game this week.
Oh, okay.
Well, Allen made like three really beautiful throws.
Three.
And he made like 10 bad throws.
Okay.
And the Patriots did a really great job keeping him in the pocket.
Yeah.
Because
what does he do, Matt? He looks to run before throwing.
No, he doesn't look
to run. So if you make him throw the ball, then obviously he has nowhere else to go.
I mean, he beat Dallas by throwing the ball.
No, that's impossible. Everyone can beat Dallas doing whatever you want. Running, throwing, anything is possible against Dallas.
Look, they played New England on the road with a second-year quarterback, and they almost had a chance to win, and they didn't.
You know
what? And you know what? They had him right where they wanted him. It just didn't happen this time.
They have in their mind that it's their little sister can't beat big brother.
I don't think so.
Come on. They're a better team. I lost $10,000. I bet it after last week, man.
Look, it happens, right?
No, man. The guy's terrible.
The only thing that I'm Both upset about is this. Is this whole Josh Allen's terrible. He's terrible, blah, blah. He's 23 years old. It's only his second year. I don't know why people expect all of a sudden now that your second-year quarterback has to be incredible and spectacular or he's going to be bad for the rest of his career. He's young. He's a baby. He's still learning. I think Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, all these guys have just spoiled everybody completely because they assume, oh, yeah, they're going to be spectacular immediately.
That's what you expect them to be.
They're dumb and busted and broken. And I'm not worried about Allen long term.
I'm not saying he's dumb, busted, and broken. I'm just saying this is kind of a time and a year for you to be able to strike in the AFC. And Buffalo's got a good enough defense. It's just their quarterback being able to put up points. It's just like even with the turnovers that they had against Brady, just all he got was three.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that. But also I think New England ran the ball very well against them, which was kind of expected.
That was a big deal.
That was very big, and they ran a lot of power, and that worked very well. And also they ran a lot of like interesting play-action passes to create open throws for Brady.
That's what I mean
like,
by little
Brady
sister,
started
though.
The game 11 for 11, and it was like, oh, here's Kenneal Harry. Or no, not Kenneal, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal.
Coming from the wide receiver position to the I formation, and then Brady stares right and then looks back. He's wide open in the flat for a first down. And so they ran like a lot of interesting play action passes like that too, create easier throws for Brady, who hasn't had a lot of them this year. And I think they're going to go away with the whole spread, five receiver set, quick passing sort of thing that hasn't worked much this season. But it's fine. Again, like they're on the road. They're down by 7. They have a chance to tie
so
it.
So much.
They didn't tie it.
They shouldn't have been down. They have a better team overall. Either way, I'll let you move on. I'm just disappointed. Both of your guys, awful. Winston, Allen, terrible.
Winston was kind of good, though.
No! Wait, okay. What does that mean?
It's the best 4-interception game you'll ever see from somebody.
That doesn't make sense.
He's missing his 2 best receivers.
What? So?
He threw 2 out routes that he stared down completely. Okay. But, you know, maybe Byron Leftwich would just say, hey, let's run an out route and go. And let's score.
What?
And they never did that. And then he, like, also, O.J. Howard had this pass where it's in his hands and he dives for it and misses. Yeah. And there's a lot of like smaller problems like that too.
But O.J.
like
Howard can't read a playbook.
His receiver runs out of his break and slips and falls and he overthrows him. And Winston missed some throws. I mean, they should have scored 35 points against Houston. Instead, they scored 20 because, again, they had 5 turnovers. But yeah, I mean, I think Winston had a good game considering the 4 interceptions.
I can't believe you're actually saying he had a good game.
Yeah, considering the 4 interceptions. Yeah, I'll take that to my grave. So one of the things that was fun about last week was the Saturday triple header. All 3 games were a lot of fun, and that's all I did last Saturday was watch like 3 NFL games in a row. Kind of by accident, wasn't playing on it. I was like, I'll watch the condensed, and then each one really sucked me in. But since that happened, all these nerds are like, NFL, we need Saturday football every single week.
No.
This is what I understand. Why can't something good happen? Be like, that was really good. Great, I liked that. I enjoyed it. Why is it every single time something good happens, the immediate response is, we need to have more of it. We have to have this every week. We need this all the time now. Just enjoy it. It happened. It was good.
Let me ask
Let's
you this,
though. Let's
do it
again next year.
Let me put it to you this way. Would you give up Thursdays for Saturdays?
Yeah, I would.
See, they should look at that then.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah, see, Thursday night would be kind of worthless because also the short rest at this point is silly. So if you do want to do the Saturday games, I'm for it. But yeah, get rid of Thursday then.
Yeah.
And then we can have back-to-back all weekend.
If you want to do Saturday at 12... You know, do one game on
just
Saturday.
Just do 1-1-1.
Yeah.
And all the networks can just bid for them.
Yeah. I hate Thursday Night Football. I don't even watch it. I think it's not indicative of
either team's
actual performance.
I only do it if it's fantasy related.
Yeah, and it's just too quick. And every game's just kind of weird, too.
Well, they're always bad, it just seems. Because even though they could be, like, close, well, it seems like competitive. Well, they were better this year. They were. No, that's what I mean. They were closer. They were more competitive. It just, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There's something that seems off.
Like, it's weird that, like, Los Angeles played Seattle, and then that game kind of, in a way, you know, matter for a playoff spot for Los Angeles after a four-day rest.
Yeah, but the Rams are terrible. They lost to the Cowboys. Dude, talk about overrated.
Well, their offensive, their defensive line lost to the Cowboys.
I think everybody lost to the Cowboys in that game.
Yeah, everybody loses to the Cowboys in one way or the other.
Nope.
Even the Cowboys themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true.
So, last week, the other thing I liked about last week, Kirk Cousins, all this big run. Kirk
so
Cousins
excited.
Should be like fifth on your MVP ballot. I was like, uh-huh, okay. All right. Yeah, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Hold on. It's actually not Kirk Cousins' fault. It's the offense's fault. Okay, just wait. Kirk Cousins is actually playing really well. Oh, he completed 8 of 11 passes for 150 yards. Just wait. Against Green Bay, 16 of 31, 122 yards, one touchdown, one interception, sacked 5 times. He lost 40 yards on the sacks. Good. I'm glad we got that out of our system. I'm glad we're ready for their week one playoff exit. And they're very fortunate, both Chicago and Los Angeles kind of peed all over themselves this week.
But isn't it just because if he doesn't have Dalvin Cook, then he's kind of screwed?
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Like, I just think that if he doesn't have the running game to rely on, just like what we talked about earlier, because you're right on the Kirk Cousins thing. There's no dispute on that. It's just at the beginning of the season, their first game that they won, wasn't it?
Didn't he throw 11 passes.
I think he got like 10 of them.
Yeah, against San Francisco.
And they won the game by like 2 touchdowns, I think.
Yeah.
So either way, it's just funny because Kirk just needs something else to rely on where it takes the attention.
He needs to be 10%
of
the offense.
Yeah, yeah. He needs to be. Okay, that's a good number. I'd say 15, maybe 20 he could get away with.
Sometimes he'll be 60, but I think over the course of the season, he's 10% of the offense.
He definitely can't be half.
He was more than half against Philly when they beat Philly.
Yeah, but anybody should be able to beat Philly. They leave everybody open if you have a quarterback that can hit them.
Yeah, but it was fun to watch. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, you pay your quarterback $31 million a year.
You're so giddy about Kirk Cousins failing. And
yeah, I mean, it's just because you keep seeing this nonsense. You're like, just wait. Look, it's week 13. Just wait. He hasn't reached his final form just yet. And it looks like they're probably going to play New Orleans or San Francisco. Or Green Bay possibly in the first round.
If they play against Green Bay, San Francisco, I think they get destroyed. New Orleans, I'm a little more curious
about. I think
New Orleans
will destroy them.
Well, I'm just curious about because the refs. What are the refs going
to
do in that?
To New Orleans?
Yeah, what's going to do in this game?
At home? Yeah, I can see that.
Another miracle.
Yeah, so the draft order, Cincinnati is locked down the number one pick at 1-14. Now, I'm kind of conflicted with this because hopefully they take Joe Burrow. That'd be the smart decision.
Yeah,
to make.
Are they going
to
do that?
But I really love Joe Burrow. He's one of my favorite college quarterbacks I've ever watched.
Yeah.
I hate him going to Cincinnati, but at least it makes Cincinnati more interesting and more watchable after being completely unwatchable. And like, it's better whenever there's more better teams out there to be able to enjoy to watch. But like, I don't want to see Burrow, and I'd rather see Burrow in Miami. You know
why? And Miami got rid of everything that they could ever have that would help Burrow.
They got a lot
so
of money,
Miami
though.
Has to really start over. Miami shouldn't be touching a quarterback. They should be touching everything else like an offensive line and then drafting the quarterback.
I kind of like their offensive line, though.
What?
Yeah, they got Julian Davenport there.
So?
And their right guard's pretty good.
Pretty good? He's okay.
Yeah, I like watching
Either
him.
Way, there's nothing there for them to draft a quarterback with. What is he going to get?
Gesicki's
what is he going to throw
good.
To? He's going to throw to Devontae Parker.
Good? Yeah.
Devontae Parker's good all of a sudden this year to you?
Yeah, because he has...
P. Williams did go out.
He has Fitzpatrick instead of Adam Gase there as well, too. Like, not having Gase, I think, is the biggest thing there. Everybody's better without Gase.
That's true.
But I'd rather see Burrow in Miami, but it looks like they'll probably just take Tua and sit on him.
Yeah, but Burrow would be great with Boyd and Mixon.
I think so.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is their offensive line is awful, terrible, horrible.
Okay, well, that's the other
but
thing.
But Jonah Williams is coming back. Their first-round pick from last year hurt his shoulder. Didn't play a snap this year. He was number one on my offensive tackle big board, and he'll be back next
year.
Looks
like your big board failed.
No, he got hurt.
No.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, but it failed.
Washington's 2-3-12. Detroit's 3-3-11-1. There's 2-4-11 teams, New York and Miami. There's 2-5-10 teams, Jacksonville, the Chargers. Carolina's 5-10, Arizona's 5-9-1. Then there's 4-7-9 teams, the Jets, Broncos, Falcons, and Browns. And all those teams are going to try to win. Well, I guess there's 7-8 teams.
Yeah.
Or 6-9. They're all 6-9, Armand.
I don't know, man.
They're all going to try to win.
I was so wrong with some of my predictions this year. It just hurts me. The Cleveland, the Chicagos, the Dallases of the world, they've just made me look silly. Hell, even the Rams I picked to make the playoffs have made me look silly.
Yeah.
San Fran never decided. Baltimore never gave them credit. A lot of things have blown up in my face this year, and I blame you.
No.
I feel like you didn't give me the correct tools in order to be. Exactly. I feel like that's what you're supposed to be able to provide, but instead I'm getting confused by Josh Allen t-shirts and Jameis Winston facts and him going for the triple crown.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is an intellectual discussion that I'm never having here. The Texans stuff can be kind of intellectually discussed, but you have to have some fun with it as well, too, at the same time. And yeah, you'll get Myers and Josh Allen conversation. And I was going to write 10 things this week, but I didn't get the chance to because of Christmas and all that. And I was like, what am I going to write about? I was like, well, I'll write about Josh Allen or write about Jameis Winston. Like, so this article is just, let's check in on Josh Allen, Jameis Winston, and then there's some other stuff in there.
What is the matter with
so
you?
I don't know.
You have an obsession problem.
I've just lost my mind.
You can have like a poster of like Jameis looking like right, and then about like Allen looking left, and it's just going
to
be them
back
looking
to back
at,
or something.
Yeah, just having, or like a Monday Night Showdown poster if they ever played against each other.
Gosh.
You would be freaking out.
I may need to look that up real fast. No, we're going to take a quick commercial break so I can see when Buffalo and Tampa are playing again. Man, that'd be fun.
You're like thinking about it. You're like fantasizing about this right now.
I think that'd be like 2 years away from
that.
Dude,
you have issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you really just wrecked my world just now.
No, I'm here for.
What I want to have is, how about it's God
what?
And Adam about to touch hands.
Wait,
it's
what?
It's the Sistine Chapel, but it's Josh Allen, Jameis Winston. That's what I want. God, can we get a t-shirt of that?
That's really disturbing, actually.
Or
so you want them still naked, right?
Well, they're not entirely naked.
They're naked.
God has a robe on. Adam
Does
has
Adam
a,
have a robe on?
No, he has a leaf.
He doesn't have a leaf?
Yeah, I think so.
No, he doesn't.
I can't remember.
He does not.
I've never been to
I've been there.
Italy before.
I've smelt the Sistine Chapel.
Ooh, okay.
I really haven't. I've
it's kind of crazy there. How I painted that. Just on his back for 15 years.
I know.
Wild. Or like that picture I sent in the group text today where it's Padme holding Anakin.
Is that
but
what you
then
want?
Josh Allen could be Padme and Jameis Winston could be Anakin.
So you want
and they're riding
Josh
horse
Allen
together.
To be holding Jameis Winston.
Yeah, in this scenario.
And they also ended up together in the end. So you want them two to end up together in the end. That's what you're saying. You want them
in
to have a love relationship.
Not necessarily that they're together to have a love relationship, but they both have very good careers in the end. And they challenge each other.
That's not what that picture implies.
I'm not saying it implies that. I understand what it implies, but I'm saying this is what I
that's not what that picture
happen.
Is.
That picture is a metaphor for that occurring is all it
I
means.
I think that is. That's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, metaphors are confusing. So the playoff picture. In the AFC, it's Baltimore and New England are the 1-2 seeds. Baltimore's clinched the home field advantage. New England clinches a bye with the win or Kansas City loss. Now Kansas City is playing the Los Angeles Chargers at 12 o'clock. Kansas City clinches the 3 seed with the win. Houston's playing Tennessee at 12 o'clock. Houston clinches the 3 seed with a Kansas City loss and a win over Tennessee, but they get nothing at all if Kansas City wins. Tennessee locks down the 6 seed with the win or a Pittsburgh and Indianapolis loss. The Bills have the 5 seed no matter what.
So in this case, I mean, do you even... I feel like that no matter what, Tennessee, even if they lose the game, that's the problem with the Houston Texans versus Tennessee. Even if Tennessee loses, I don't think Pittsburgh's going
to
win.
Well, then they need Indy to lose too, because if not, Oakland.
Oh, wait, they need both? I thought you just said one over the other.
They need both to have happen.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that's
a
little different.
If Indy wins, then Oakland can get that spot.
Oh, wait, what?
It's all messed up. There's like five things that happened last week for Oakland to stay alive. Those 5 things happened. 5 more things have to happen for Oakland to make the playoffs, and those 5 things could happen.
I hope Oakland makes playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be great. And the NFC, San Francisco is the 1 seed right now. With a win, they clinch it. Green Bay's the 2 seed. They can move up to the 1 seed if San Francisco loses and they beat Detroit. Or they can clinch the 2 seed if New Orleans loses. And then New Orleans, they can clinch the 2 seed if San Francisco or Green Bay lose. If San Francisco loses, they can clinch the 2 seed, but they have to win. Seattle clinches the 2 seed if they win, and they can clinch the 1 seed if Green Bay and New Orleans lose, and then they beat San Francisco. Minnesota is locked into the 6 seed.
What?
Seattle's locked into the 5 seed if they lose. And then Philadelphia is locked into the 4 seed if they win. But if they lose and Dallas wins, then Dallas ends up winning the NFC East anyways.
Because Boo.
Life is a complete chaotic,
they don't deserve
silly,
anything.
Absurdist mess.
Both Philly and Dallas will be losing.
Okay, that'd be good too. I think Dallas still wins too.
No, they don't. Not if they both lose.
Oh, Philly wins then?
Yeah, Philly still wins because okay. It's still a divisional game. That's
that'd
what I want.
That'd be beautiful. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So then, okay. I get
so then Philly gets in 8-8.
Oh, because they have one more game up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So last week, their picks, I went 0-4. You went 0-4.
Even though I got the score right.
You picked the Tampa Bay game score right, but you decide to stick with a half point by Houston, who, again, Tampa Bay had 5 turnovers.
You only
and they
got
only
me
won 23-20. Despite they scored 6 offensive points on their own. They scored 17 points off turnovers.
What are you doing to
they
me?
Ran the ball on first down 20 times against the number one ranked run defense in football.
I lost so much money in Vegas.
Yeah.
So much money this weekend.
I couldn't wait to get on that plane ride back home.
God.
So I'm 28-30. You're 27-31.
I started out so hot.
Hey, we're going
these past 3 weeks, man. I think I've won like one game.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. What are you doing over there? I think you're rigging the score. Come on, I picked the score. That should be like a wave.
We've had this conversation earlier because I picked the score once. This year's like doesn't count. It happened to me once.
We
this
need
year,
to
too.
Have like a pick, like a perfect score pick. Then you get a point. We'll do it.
That's what we talked about. You we said, no,
we
no.
We
got to
set the rules at the beginning of the year.
We're not doing that.
We're setting the rules beginning of the year.
All right, we can make
we're
going
to have a rule sheet.
Well, next year's the last year of the podcast, so we can do that next year.
What are you talking about? It's the last year of the
actually,
podcast.
Actually, I may just do this for like the next 45 years of my life.
You have to do it for the next 45 years.
You think so?
Yeah. What else am I going to do?
I don't know.
I have nothing else to do on Thursdays. What else am I going to do? Man, watch Friends?
You can watch Friends.
I don't want to watch anymore. Oh, wait. No, Friends is about to be removed.
You can sign up to NBC Plus and watch Friends.
I'm not signing up for another app.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So this week, we're going to talk about Houston or Tennessee at Houston, Washington at Dallas, Baltimore at Pittsburgh, and San Francisco at Seattle.
You seem like really confused on that last one.
I was just trying to think about who's home. But I was like, well, remember Jadeveon Clowney was spectacular in San Francisco? So then they had to play in Seattle now. There we go. We got it. So Bill O'Brien has repeatedly said, every game we play, we try to win. Deshaun Watson supposedly is going to play on Sunday. He hasn't practiced very much this week because of a back injury. Will Fuller is out with a groin injury this week. Next week, maybe the week after, DeAndre Hopkins hasn't practiced all week because he's sick. I wonder what he did.
What do you mean you wonder what he did?
Ooh.
He probably went and hung out, man.
Yeah. And then
it's holiday time.
It's holiday time.
Ooh, ooh.
And then Larry Tunsil was limited in practice with an ankle injury. Now, cool. They play at 3 o'clock. The Chiefs play at 12 o'clock. So I can understand the Chiefs lose. They play their stars because I don't even know if they're going to be even. They are going to struggle to beat Tennessee even with their starters regardless. And I don't think there's a chance though, that Kansas City loses at 12 o'clock. But if Kansas City loses or Kansas City wins at 12 and they're playing Watson and everybody else, I'm going to be.
But what do you gain out of this?
Nothing.
You said the third seed, right?
Yeah, the
what
third
are you getting
seed.
For getting the third seed? Like, what is your record? You get, like, where are you getting as far as the road? Is it just another home game?
Well, you have a home game regardless.
Or is it just the path of who you're playing?
Yeah, so if you get the three seed, you get to play probably Pittsburgh, maybe Oakland.
You're not playing Pittsburgh.
Maybe Tennessee.
You don't want to play Tennessee.
I know.
So why would you want it?
And then if they, that's what happens, they get the three seed. But in the second round, they would play New England, set Baltimore probably. And that's where, like, the big thing comes in. You'd rather go to New England
than
go to Baltimore.
That's fair.
That's the biggest thing you gain from it, though. But even in the first round, I mean,
I would still have y'all go.
I mean, the chance of playing Pittsburgh instead of Buffalo is a lot better. I want them to have the three seed and play Tennessee instead.
Pittsburgh is not going to win. Pittsburgh is not going to the playoffs. Pittsburgh is finally turning into the team that they were supposed to be.
I mean, they've had a great defense and won them a lot of close games, and they score points off of turnovers. And what's changed the last 2 weeks is that
their quarterback.
They're turning the ball over instead.
Their quarterback's
playing. That one he threw it. I was laughing so hard when he threw that one around the end zone.
You know what?
It was great.
Hodges tried his best. I mean, it's more like They have
he's an undrafted free agent from Samford.
What they are,
do you know where Samford is?
They have like a power bar. It's like what you see in like a video game where you have like a certain level of ability, and then the moment you use all of that energy bar, yeah, it's just it's then you're mana. Depleted, and then you have to be able to reset and recharge. That's what they're doing with these guys.
Yeah, so they're having to hit with the club, I guess. Well, Rudolph, yeah. They bring Rudolph in. He's on IR.
He did great.
I hate him so much. Gosh, I hate him.
Is he 14 of 20 or something?
He's terrible.
He was fine. He threw a touchdown.
He threw an interception.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was sacked a few times. I don't know. But
either way, that offense is so terrible.
The offense is bad. The defense is really good. What are the odds? Was a miraculous season from them regardless. But again, I agree. Whenever your offense is like, I know we talked about entering the year that we could see Tom and me coach of the year. I think he was probably like the number three pick to be coach of the year, considering everything else.
I mean, it's still hard. Who would you pick? Oh, no.
I put Kyle Shanahan. One.
That's yeah. What, yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, I'll shut up.
And then Belichick, too.
No. What are we doing?
I wouldn't put Belichick. I put Harbaugh, too.
I wouldn't put.
Yeah, actually, I put Greg Roman.
That's what I was gonna say. I don't want to put. Yeah,
Greg Roman's too.
Even though I still say you should give Harbaugh some credit as well.
A little bit.
You know what? They should split the award.
He put the ecosystem.
That's what they did in Mean Girls. She just tore up the crown and then she just threw pieces to them.
Yeah,
just the same thing.
Ooh, maybe he should do that with his MVP trophy. Yeah, Lamar should do that. He's not gonna do that though.
He gave all his offensive linemen Rolexes.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't even make that much money either. He's doing.
That's what I was surprised with. What is the rookie contract for him?
He's a first round pick, so he probably makes like
later round
$1.7 million.
Yeah, but even though, what did he get for endorsements now?
That won't be until next year he'll really get
that's
the endorsements.
What I mean. He's signing them now though.
Maybe. I don't know what he's doing.
Why don't you know?
I'm not probably waiting.
You only know what Josh Allen, Jameis Winston does, but you don't know what Lamar Jackson, the MVP, is going to be doing.
If Josh Allen had workout gear, I'd be wearing it right now.
Okay. Workout gear, really?
Jameis should make his own, like, rum, his own Tampa Bay rum or something like that.
Yeah, and it should be called, like, the Famous Crab.
His own daiquiri drive-thru line.
Or Famous Crab Legs.
He should have his own, actually, Tommy Bahama line is what he should have.
Why would he have his own Tommy Bahama line?
So you want to hear something funny?
Well, yeah, sure. Tell me about your Tommy Bahama line.
So I wear an XL typically or a tall large, but Tommy Bahama I wear a large. And I got a Tommy Bahama sweatshirt for my birthday because I turned 37 years old.
Is that what makes you feel better?
No, it's funny because like they automatically make the sizes bigger because it's for, you know, just like big old men, you know.
Does that make you happy?
No, I just thought it was hilarious. I was laughing.
Is that why,
like,
I could never fit in a Tommy Bahama shirt?
That's exactly. They make everything a little bit bigger for make the big guys feel better, you know?
That's why. None of their shirts would ever fit me. And I was like, man, I know I'm small, but this is, there's something wrong here.
Yeah, that's why. I was cracking up though. I was putting my shirt on and I was dying laughing.
So what you're saying is that they're prejudiced against short people.
No, they just try to make the big guys feel better.
So they only want big people in their store.
No, they're just trying
to
make
to push everybody else out.
No.
You know what? I think we should boycott Tommy Bahamas.
No, that's
what I'm doing.
Look, the big guys
I'm boycotting Tommy.
That's fine.
I hope he's listening to this right now. Normal Bahamas for him.
So if you're going to watch this game, you can watch for... If Houston runs the ball every first down, which they did in their first matchup.
They shouldn't play anybody.
Well, that's the first thing. They shouldn't play anybody.
Yeah, let's.
But they do play everybody. Watch how they run the ball in first down. Because, again, last week they ran the ball, I think, 20 times for 31 yards or whatever it was last week against Tampa Bay. Watch out for Tennessee's play action passing. Tennessee loves to throw the ball on play action on any down distance. I love it. It's beautiful. Watch Houston's run defense. Especially if they still stick with Angelo Blackson, Brandon, DJ Reader on their defensive line. Watch if Jacob Martin plays because he can run around Tennessee's offensive tackles a little bit. And he was out their previous matchup. Or no, he did play the previous matchup. He just didn't do anything at all whatsoever.
Nothing at all.
Watch out for A.J. Brown because he's miraculous.
Who's that?
You know who A.J. Brown is?
Of course I know who A.J. Brown is. Come on. Did you see the fact that you even took that seriously bothers me.
I just like made this one. You know what? I was
like,
very
perplexed. Like, you even lifted up your eyebrow and everything. Like, you were, Taylor, go home. That's what you were about to say to me.
I was about to like go on this tirade about who A.J. Who's A.J. Brown? Watch out for him if they can actually cover him this time. Because last time they played, he had like 11 catches. Watch out for Johnny Smith. Watch out for if Tennessee blitzes more. Because I feel like they didn't blitz enough at all. Their last matchup, and Tampa Bay really did a good job blitzing them in obvious passing situations after stopping the run first down, too. And so that's all you can look forward to if you're going to watch this game, which I guess I have to which I'm upset about. But I'll be watching it, and there's not going to be anything at all to gain from it. Because, I think there's like a 1% chance the Chargers beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening at all. Because wouldn't at this point the Chargers would want to lose?
I guess so.
Yeah, they have nothing to really gain for. You're not going anywhere. They know they're not going anywhere. Well, they have other things to work out with, too. Man, they got a lot of things going on in San Diego. Oh, I'm sorry, L.A.
I can't wait. They're going to move to Vegas, too, probably.
No.
This Chargers thing is
absurd. Just go back to San Diego.
Well, the stadium's not good enough for them.
You know what? They should come to San Antonio.
Oh.
Oh.
And they change their names to the Missions. They'd be the San Antonio Missions.
Ooh.
Or the Gunslingers. Or the Vaqueros. Jerry wouldn't like that.
The Vaqueros.
Jerry would hate that.
Jerry would never allow it. That's why we don't even have to worry about this.
We have to wait for him to die, and then we can get a team in San Antonio.
It would never happen.
Or they could also play in like...
Houston's not signing off on it. Dallas isn't signing
off on
it.
Houston doesn't have enough power, though, anymore.
You're cutting off... Exactly. Dallas does.
But until Jerry dies, then it doesn't matter.
Jerry's not going to die.
Jerry can do anything he wants.
He has an immortal machine that he uses every afternoon in order to rejuvenate.
So he just has like an entire stable of unicorns, and he drinks their blood every
he
day.
He drinks it, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a curse because he has to have the blood
every
single day.
And that's why the Cowboys
day.
Will never make it past the
it's exactly
second
right.
round. It's because of that. It's the unicorn's curse.
Because he drinks the unicorn's blood.
We got it. But that NFL LA article ESPN published was, it's insane how much power Jerry has.
Yeah.
And it's absurd. But yeah, maybe whenever he dies, we can get a team here. And maybe they could play in between San Antonio and Austin. We could just be called like, you know, I don't know, Central Texas Hillbillies or something.
Central Texas Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Dude, you don't want to play against
us. Or the Central Texas Rats or something.
Yeah, don't come to our trailer park.
Nope. God, they can play.
Just a big rat as your mascot.
They can play on the poor side of New Braunfels.
What do you mean? There's no poor side of New Braunfels.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
You said we live on the poor side.
I mean, why does it have to be on the poor side?
I don't know, because they're called the Hillbillies.
That's true. No, they have to be in a trailer park. They have to be near that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Instead of like a real stadium, it's really like an outdoor like high school football field.
They just
and the bleachers, there's only like 10 rows.
It only fits 500 people. Yeah. Tickets are $5. We have to wait in line.
Yes. And if they so happen to make a playoff run and all that, tickets will jump. They'll skyrocket to thousands of dollars. Dude, we're in a money-making idea right now.
Yeah, supply
Let's
and demand.
Let's send it in to Jerry.
Supply and demand.
Don't you have
it's
pool?
Like when,
can you make a phone call?
It's like when farmers burn down their crops to be
what?
Able to decrease the supply.
Is that what they
and
do?
And increase the price of their product. Yeah, they do that. They'll throw away stuff to increase the price of their product. So I have Tennessee winning 27-20.
Mind
and
blown.
The Titans are 3.5-point favorites.
Okay, I have Tennessee winning 35, Houston 22. I expect everybody to be sitting. And I expect Tannehill, the cannon, to just constantly throw the ball over and over and over again.
I think Bill O'Brien's going to play his guys in the first half.
Stop it. I don't even want to hear
and
this.
And they're going to be down by like 7, and then he's going to rest them. Or it's going to take
sick ankle. I have back. What are you talking about?
Groin.
I have groin.
Knee. McKinney had a concussion.
Oh, concussion I've had?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah, I don't know. He's...
Come on.
The man has to be stopped. Hey, but... They won another AFC championship. I was joking. The shirts are like, the South isn't enough. I was like, yeah, the South is usually enough. That's usually more than enough
for us.
It's
messed up, man.
Yeah. That's what we like. The next game we have here is Washington at Dallas. This is a 12 o'clock game going concurrently with the Philadelphia Eagles against the New York Giants.
It's at 3 o'clock now.
It's at the 3 o'clock game.
They moved it.
They moved it to 3 o'clock. All right. Let's try this again. The next game we have here is Washington at Dallas. The Cowboys are 11-point favorites, running concurrently at 3 o'clock with the Philadelphia Eagles playing the New York Giants. You know who looked pretty good last week?
Huh?
You know who looked good last
week?
Who
looked good last week?
The Washington Redskins and the New York Giants. Yeah. I was joking around. I wasn't actually joking around. I was being very serious. I was like, yeah, whoever wins this game should actually be the NFC East winner. That'd be better.
No, that wouldn't.
It would have been better.
This is really the biggest toilet bowl I've ever seen in my entire life.
You should take a look at that toilet in there.
I don't want to take a look at that toilet. It's a I already big have to look at the bowl. Toilet every Sunday, every single time I flip on a Dallas Cowboy game. It's been awful. This is pretty much just the worst of the losers because whoever wins the division is just going to get blown out.
That never happens, though.
I know.
It never happens.
It never happens. But it's not going to do any of these teams any favors. That's the thing. every single team, none of them deserve to go. Even with Philly. Philly, you guys have been trash. Your secondary is awful. Anybody can torch you guys.
It looked pretty good against Dallas, though.
Oh, yeah? Except I have a quarterback that can't hit anybody that's wide open. So
I like
I don't
how
know
what
you're
talking
saying about.
In our, you know, our production meeting, we were like, yeah, the pass game is like, if someone was open, Dak missed it. And then if it was contested, they dropped it. Whenever Dak threw the perfect pass.
Oh, yeah.
It just, like, nothing matched at all.
No matter what. And so what was funny about last game, too, is that, yeah, when Dak would throw a great pass, they would drop it. Whenever he would throw, or whenever they were wide open, he would throw it way over their head or throw it at their feet. Either way, it was never on point. And even the defense, though. The defense, they look great. But the Sanders play when he scored the touchdown, were they playing prevent in the end zone? Because they only had three guys on the line and everybody else is 5 feet back.
Yeah.
And then he could have walked in, for God's sakes.
I mean, he pretty much did.
He was on the two-yard line. What defense are you running there? You're running prevent. I don't understand this. I hate this team so much. And I knew they were going to lose the moment I saw two drives from them, and they gave me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kicker, though. A kicker gave me something.
I made some kicks.
And again, they gave us the field position. By them missing kicks.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. And they wanted us to take advantage of them.
Yeah,
throwing.
That one drive started at 45 and they got 0 points.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that looks like it's it.
That would be it. If you're not going to get points out of them giving you field, come on. And Zeke being taken out of the game and then Pollard turning the ball over. It's one thing after another with this team. But that's what I told you. With this team at the beginning of the year, no matter what stats tell me about Dak, he looked like Tony Romo for me in the early years, where it's just all you throwing the ball. There's no real game plan. It's just you chunking it everywhere, hoping for the best, and all garbage time yards. I hate this team so much, and I want to go back to the game manager. I want to go back to a running back that knows how to run the ball and doesn't want to be taken out, and go back to an offensive line that knows how to block.
Well, I mean, the biggest problem I saw in the run game was that they ran the ball on first and 10 just about every time, and they just ran the ball in
a,
yeah,
like a total
A-plus
of
boxes.
11 yards.
Yeah, and it was just like, there's eight guys in the box. You can't be running the ball every first down, and they kept doing continuously. Like, I think Elliott had like 20 yards in the first half, and it was just because, yeah, you can't block the safety. They have a free guy every play because of what you're doing here. And Kellen Moore didn't understand that against the Minnesota Vikings. He didn't understand the Philadelphia Eagles this game.
Anything.
And like he comes up, like I say, he comes up with cool plays, but he doesn't know how to call a game that gets an opponent for an entire time.
It's almost like he got a promotion too early, and maybe that's what the issue is. But even with coaches, so let's go to even Garrett here, where I know it's the easy target. I blame everybody for this game as well, not just Garrett. I say Garrett even has like 20% of the blame versus how much I'd give Dak. But Garrett, for example, fourth quarter, you're down by the two scores. There's 9 minutes left. It's like fourth and four, fourth and three. And granted, you're on like their 40, but you don't go for it. You punt the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever it's fourth and nine, middle of the field, after you get the ball next and it's 4.5 minutes left, you're then going for it. If you have that mindset during that spot, guess what? You're down two scores.
Yeah.
You should probably go for it in that other spot, too, if it's the fourth freaking quarter.
Or even when they kicked that long field goal with Kai. Like, he made that, but I was like, it's fourth and three. They should just go for this one.
And it's the crap.
And he
that,
made it or whatever, but I still think it's a bad process.
I think it's a bad play, too, especially when you know your offense is not getting you anything. So on a drive, when they're finally moving downfield, just take advantage of it. And if they don't get it, they don't get it. Because, again, the Philadelphia Eagles weren't that good. They just didn't screw up.
Mm-hmm.
All we wanted to do was
not win
that game.
I think what happened with Dallas is that nobody made a play that game. Like, nobody stepped up and did anything to change that game at all. Every time there was a chance to make a play, somebody dropped it. Dak missed a throw. The Tavon Austin double move, he just missed him. The Michael Gallup drop.
Thank God I had Amari Cooper playing, right?
Cooper did nothing at all.
It's
more like Amari Pooper, you know? And then the other thing I want...
take that, Amari.
Got him. The only guy I think he made a play was DeMarcus Lawrence when he strip sacked Carson Wentz, but the ball landed right between his legs.
Right in between his legs.
And that was his 15th fumble this year, and Carson Wentz is leading the league in fumble recoveries. And he was fortunate that ball didn't go like all over the world and Dallas and recover. But I think Lawrence is the only guy who actually made a play that game. everybody else, it was the same sort of thing. Like, everybody's looking at each other to do something.
Everyone's looking
anything.
At each other. And yeah. Amari Cooper is so bad. He better not get a contract. Now, Dak should be franchised because of what you gave me. And then Amari, I don't know what to do with
y'all
you.
Y'all have a first-round pick next year? No.
Yeah, we do.
You do?
Amari, we lost for this past year.
Just trade for AJ Green then.
Nah, that's not a bad idea. Either way, the Amari Cooper thing bothers me because of what you can say. Oh, it's one game, this and this. No, it's every away game.
Yeah.
How is it every single away game? He looks this bad. He's always wanting to take it out. He's hurt. And just to even touch on even more, on the very last play of the game when it's 4th-and-8 or whatever and we're needing to get a touchdown, I don't have Cobb in. I don't have Amari Cooper
Cobb
in.
Cobb was good, too.
I need if Amari Cooper wants me to pay him $20 million a year, why on earth is he not in the last play of the game?
Yeah.
I really hope we don't pay him. And it's because of the away games.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything for me for half the season.
And he's such a vital part of the offense, too. Like, they depend on him.
Yeah.
And, in the biggest part of the game, he wasn't out there. I think Cobb had a good game, though.
Cobb had a great game, but why can't Amari get separation from, like, a third-string corner?
Hey, Avante Maddox, no joke.
Oh, my God. And Philly played great as far as just their offense for what they had.
I think Jim Schwartz out-coached Kyle Moore up and down the field. And then,
shocking.
And then Dallas just, like, they had opportunities and nobody could fill on them.
Garrett.
He did enough. Their defense did enough. I mean, their offense did enough. It wasn't great.
I just want Ron Rivera.
I think he'd be good there. He actually has leadership and accountability and that sort of thing.
That's all I want.
It's like...
And he can decide if he wants to keep Kellen Moore or not. Maybe he has a cowboy.
It's like the Cowboys had some dad that let him get away with too much, and they need like a stern stepfather to come in and set the house straight. And that can be Ron Rivera.
Well, then that's messed up.
Yeah, that's what they need.
That's dark.
It's not dark. It's good.
It's pretty dark.
It's not dark.
Why does he have to be the stepfather?
Hey, as a stepfather, you know, we got feelings too, you know.
As a stepfather?
Yeah.
So you have kids?
Yeah, I got stepchildren.
How many?
2.
What are their names?
Felix.
Felix.
And Neil.
Felix and Garfield?
No, Neil.
Neil?
Yeah.
What were they named after?
Well, I don't know. Probably something their deadbeat dad
just
named.
Just get out of here.
All right, so this game, the Cowboys are 11-point favorites. I'm going to go Dallas 30, Washington 20.
Oh, Dallas does not cover this.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm going to have Dallas 28. I'll have Washington 21.
I kind of only picked Dallas to cover just so we do something slightly different.
Why don't you do it then? Say they'll cover 11. Say they will cover 11 points for me.
I'm going to stick 30-20.
My dream, by the way, is for Philly to lose and for Dallas to lose. Just so I can laugh my ass off.
I mean, Philly may not beat the Giants.
I don't think they will. Because the Giants are going to be trying.
They're going to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, they're going to be having a good time.
And that catch Saquon had on that vertical route,
yeah,
that was unbelievable.
He does it after I get knocked out because the week that I needed Saquon to help me in fantasy, he doesn't do it.
That missed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara did the same thing.
It was the exact same week that Kamara and Saquon both failed. First week of the playoffs, right? Who cares? I hate fantasy.
Yeah. It's dumb. Who cares? It's for children, not for intellectuals like us.
Yeah.
Recording an intellectual
podcast. Yeah, I'm not a child. I just read comics every day.
So the next game we have here is San Francisco at Seattle. Now, the 49ers are 3.5-point favorites. This is coming off the Seahawks losing to the Arizona Cardinals last week. In that game, Chandler Jones had 4 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, 6 quarterback hits. Do you know who Jamarin Jones is?
Who's that?
He's the Seahawks' new left tackle because Dwayne Brown has a knee injury. You know who Chandler Jones rushed against last week?
Who did he rush against?
Jamarin Jones. You know who the 49ers have?
Who the 49ers have?
They have Nick Bosa.
Uh-huh.
They have Eric Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 bad outside linebackers because Kwon Alexander got hurt and because Dee Ford's hurt. But I think we're going to see a lot of Nick Bosa against Jamarin Jones this week.
So you think that this is just going to be a slaughter then and that Russell Wilson's going to be running for his life, the magician himself? Is he going to be able to pull the Houdini axe? Or do you just think he's going to get his butt kicked all day?
Not necessarily. We're not getting there just yet.
What do you mean I'm not getting there just yet? I'm just saying he's going to get sacked a lot.
We're close. We're getting there.
What?
We're not boiling yet.
I hate you so much.
We're not boiling. We're hot. We're not boiling
No, there's
yet.
No hot.
So Brown did not practice. Low. The other problem is that Ethan Pochich, you know who that is? Pokic.
That sounds really familiar. Do I know him?
He's a 3-year player out of LSU. He's their left guard because Mike Iupati's out. He did not practice this week either. They have an entire new left side of the line. Eric Armstead has 10 sacks this year. He's leading the Niners in sacks. DeForest Buckner is really good on the interior too. DJ Fluker and Ifedi are like a big enough problem on the right side against these pass rushers. And now they have an entire backup to the left side of the line of scrimmage. And again, Chandler Jones, 4 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, 6 quarterback hits. And Jones may break the sack record because of this game he had against Seattle last week. That's one of the problems. The other problem is that Jadeveon Clowney's missed the last 2 weeks with a core injury.
This is your boy.
He was spectacular. He was bad against the Rams 2-3 weeks ago. Like, I was like, this isn't Jadeveon.
This isn't who I know. This who is it?
Who is this person?
Oh, my God. It's like I don't even know
it's
you.
Like I don't even know you anymore. I was like, who is this?
God, you're like a stranger.
But, yeah, he was bad against Los Angeles. But he's missed the last 2 weeks with a core injury. I know he has some sort of hernia. He has some hernia problems here and there. I don't know what's wrong with him. But against San Francisco in the last matchup, he had 1 sack, 5 tackles, 5 quarterback hits, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 touchdown, and just dominated the 49ers run game. Like he was going, he's like pushing two guys back at the same time into the puller. He was decimating like every guy, everybody tried to pull at him. He was unbelievable that game. And he may play this week. We don't know yet. But that's another problem that Seattle has. And that was a game that they had to win in overtime by 3 points, even with their offensive line healthy, even with Clowney healthy. And now they don't have this, these aspects of their team as they're playing San Francisco, who have one of their better games of the year last week against New Orleans. And,
after, and they have things to play for.
Against Los Angeles, and they do have something to play for. Yeah. They win the 1 seed. If they lose and Seattle wins, they drop all the way down to the 5 seed, and they end up playing Philadelphia or Dallas, depending on what happens there.
Yeah, in this case.
So this is, I mean, it's like the only team where it's like each team playing against each other has a lot to play for. Every other game is like, this is important if this happens or this happens or this happens.
You just think, though, that Seattle's going to, you know what, Seattle may, from what you are saying, though, Seattle's going to try to be desperate with some of their play calls, especially if their offensive line is that banged up to where they're going to have to be tricky with their plays. And why else do you bring back beast mode? Is it just because you're going to have an individual that's going to have to bully through people? They're going to bang him up before he's even ready to play.
How many carries could he have? Like
he's
going to
get 8 carries. He's going to get 8 carries total.
And then what's going to happen?
I don't know. I'll let you decide. He's going to get 8.
I think 8's fine.
You like 8.
It's fine just because their best part of their offense is them throwing the ball vertically downfield.
Yeah, it's true. And people will try to be paying attention to Marshawn Lynch. The hype will be real. Everybody will be going crazy in Seattle. But it's kind of like what you said. You don't like this team on both the offense and the defensive side because they don't even have Jadeveon to be able to put pressure on San Francisco. So do you even think that anybody's going to be able to challenge Jimmy G? Or is he just going to be throwing it to Emmanuel all day long?
Well, I mean,
and the best tight end in the league.
Quinn Jefferson's good. Jerome Reed's really good. I don't know. Like, Clowney's been like the entirety of their pass rush this year.
You just love him.
Yeah, he's spectacular. And he does things nobody's ever done before.
If only he was on Houston.
Yeah. I mean, that again, I don't want to talk about it. I think we've talked about it like here and there.
I just like to bring it up because it hurts you every time.
Yeah, I hate it. Yeah, I know. I hate it so much. But I mean, like, he I think Clowney has 3 sacks this year, but he's like 4th in the league in pressures. He has at least 20 quarterback hits. And I've never seen somebody get so close to him as making big plays throughout his entire career. Because it's been like this since his second year in the league, where he just like jumps up and down screaming because he's so close. And it just doesn't quite happen. I don't know why. I think God is a malicious, despicable, unfair, being. And I don't like what he's done to Clowney, but I digress. I think the biggest problem Seattle has is the offensive line, though. It isn't Clowney. It's the fact that their offense is best throwing vertically, but those are long developing passes. I think Russell Wilson should be the MVP right now. And if they win this game, I think it's like a no-brainer. He'll win the MVP. And he's going to have just an unbelievable game. And the other problem with them, too, is like their offensive line has run blocked well before these 2 injuries, but then they lost Chris Carson. They lost Rashad Penny, and now they're going to rely on Marshawn Lynch. I think they brought C.J. ProSize back. Or they couldn't even bring back C.J. ProSize.
I thought they did.
Let me check real fast.
Yeah. Wait, why did you think that they didn't? Because what was wrong with him?
No, I just think a different team signed him before they
could. Oh, that'd be dirty if it was like San Francisco or L.A. Just please give me somebody in the division.
Just for no reason all whatsoever.
Yeah, just because.
Oh, no, they lost CJ ProSize is what happened.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a...
So they lost everybody.
They lost all their run. And it's also... It sucks, too, because they were playing very well, and here we come at the end of the year, and they lost kind of everybody all at once.
Do you think that Marshawn's going to be paid in Skittles?
You think so?
I don't know.
I think he's going to pay, like, $85,000. And then he's going to sell some T-shirts.
He says he's been working out for the past few weeks.
They move rookie... Travis Homer is their only active running back on the roster. So it's Travis Homer and Marshawn Lynch. And I don't know who Travis Homer is.
I think I remember that name from somewhere. He played for another team before.
Well, let's find out here.
That sounds really familiar.
This is great. Great content.
This is great content right now because we have to find this out on who Homer is.
He's a sixth-round pick as of last year.
Uh-huh.
From the University of Miami. He's only played for Seattle.
Okay, I knew who he played before.
Seattle drafted him in the first round this year. He's averaging, hey, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
6.5 yards a carry.
Look at that.
He must be really good.
Dude, I bet they got something. That's why they
got something going
here.
I think they on 8 rushes for 52 yards.
All right, let's get back to the team that matters. So San Francisco, do you think that they're going to be able to make a deep run here? Do you think that the bye is going to be able to help them? Because obviously,
well, that's
I really
most
don't have
thing.
Hope in Seattle.
That's the most important thing, though, is having the bye.
If they win this game, what do you think?
Well, I guess here's the weird thing about it. It's like, is the bye that important, or it's just really good teams get the bye, and really good teams usually win the Super Bowl? The last team to win the Super Bowl without first-round bye was Baltimore in 2012.
I was about to say, because then before that was New York, right?
The Giants?
Yeah, the Giants. Huh?
Maybe, yeah, because
yeah.
They went on the road and beat
yeah,
Green Bay
in round
2. Yeah, they were
9-7 that year.
Yeah, they beat Green Bay on the in the like the snow in round 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Either way, yeah, I enjoy San Francisco enough to where if they get the bye, I feel like they could at least go to the NFC Championship game. After that, all bets are off because I'm still wondering on who they're going to be able to play in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody can come out of the NFC except for Minnesota.
Okay.
And I think also Philly could beat Seattle in the first round.
If Kirk Cousins make the NFC really Championships, what are you going to do? You have to buy a Kirk Cousins jersey if he makes the NFC Championship.
I would never do
You're
that.
You're going to make that deal with me?
Actually, I have a Vikings-type Bridgewater jersey.
No. That's not the
same.
Shirt-y. You love Teddy. That's not the same thing. You have to get a Kirk Cousins jersey if they make the NFC Championship.
I can get a shirtsy. I'm not going to spend $120.
What is it? Are you going to get a shirtsy?
That's like, oh, that's like 2 shares of
A&D.
Okay,
then get a shirtsy. Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
All right, cool. Deal.
I'll have to wear it.
Because you're a Kirk Cousins fan.
I'll have to wear it to my wedding. You
that's
know?
Cute.
Yeah.
Give me a Dalvin Cook one whenever you got a chance.
Okay.
All right.
But if the Bills make the AFC Championship game, you have to give me a Josh Allen jersey.
No.
But
I'll get
buy,
you a shirtsy.
But I already have one, though.
Oh, then I'll get you another one.
No,
I'll get
I don't,
you a different
there's
color.
Only one time.
I'll get you a different color.
I guess red.
Yeah.
Long sleeve red. All right. One.
So if they make the Super Bowl,
but
I'll
you
get
you
a
have to get
jersey.
One for yourself, too, though. Because, like, if the
you
Vikings.
Have to give me one.
Yeah, I am. I'll get you a Dalvin Cook one. The Vikings make the NFC title game, and I'll get myself a Kirk Cousins one.
Okay.
And then you have to get 2 Josh Allen shirtsies if the Bills make the AFC title game.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
There
Deal.
We go.
There
this
it
is.
Is
a good one. It's not going to happen, but it's a good one. But I do think Philly could beat Seattle.
I really
I don't,
hope Kirk Cousins makes
I,
it.
I love Seattle all this year. I know they're a lot of fun to watch. I really like their offense, all that sort of stuff. I think they're just too hurt now. Unless Russell Wilson is just even, like, it's like, can Russell Wilson hit another level even though he's already hit the highest level you can hit?
But now he has nothing as far as to lean on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just going to, and everyone knows that you can just blitz. He has no running back at this point. So you can just be able to take the offensive line that is remaining apart, and the Houdini himself is going to be running around the entire time. I just don't see how he's going to do it. Not to say he can't do it. I just don't see it, especially against San Fran, who is still playing for the number one seed.
Yeah.
That's the big deal,
they're
too.
All, I mean, yeah, they're all playing. It's like 4 teams are playing for those 2
first
round
buys. That's why it's crazy where all these teams are still going to be trying.
Yeah. You know how old Marshawn Lynch is?
He's 36.
33. The thing is, these guys in the NFL at like 20, and they're old at 28.
Well, running backs especially, because they burn you out.
Yeah.
AKA DeMarco Murray. The Dallas Cowboys destroyed that man in 1 year.
Yeah, that was bad. He had 1 good year in Tennessee, though.
He did have one good year. That was right.
Yeah, his year. He had one good year after that in Tennessee, and then his like second year in Tennessee was bad, and Derrick Henry took over.
And then Derrick Henry has had bad years with Marcus Mariota, and now with Ryan the Cannon, he's going to be able to turn into something.
Yeah. I mean, he already is something.
Well, yeah, because he has Ryan the Cannon.
Yeah, the Cannon Hill.
The Cannon Hill.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah. All right, so who's your pick for this game? And again, Seattle or San Francisco is a road favorite right now at 3.5.
I'm going to pick San Fran here, and it's, again, it's just because they have to play. I have 31-28. I have a close one.
I mean, we got the same picks again this week. I have San Francisco 28, Seattle 23.
Why are you copying me?
I just don't like the injuries. I think if the teams are even, I'd pick Seattle, but I just think these injuries are too important.
I just don't like that you're copying me with everything that I do.
It's just so cool.
Wait, wait. Pick more points for the Cowboys. You want to be confident with them.
Yeah, you're at 10 points.
You're at 10 points already.
I want to, but I can't.
2 points.
Look, it's all going to set itself up in the
postseason. You're saying 10. You're saying 30 to 20. Say 32 to 20.
Nah, I can't.
This is the end of the
year. 11's too much.
Dude, are you going to do this right now?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Wait, the end of the... Do we even have season awards for a regular season for us? Or is the...
We have
verdict
the playoffs.
Still go. Okay.
We have the playoffs.
So we'll wait for the playoffs.
And okay. The way the bet works is that whoever wins gets the other person's buying dinner, and the game differentials how many drinks they have to buy. Yes. Or in this case, for me, since I'll be a shaman,
that's,
I don't know.
True. How many like waters I'm going to get you?
Yeah.
We'll have another water.
Maybe you can get me an appetizer.
Make sure it's
or something.
Tap water.
Yeah.
We don't do any of that bottle.
I don't know. I'm excited to be a shaman. So the last game we have here is Baltimore at Pittsburgh. And the Steelers are 2-point favorites at home. But this game doesn't matter.
This game doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all. I think RG3 can beat Pittsburgh as well, too.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, they're going to be switching quarterback. Okay, so the funniest thing that I saw, because we talked about it, it was a video that they posted, and it was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And
yeah,
he was wearing the Hodges jersey.
And the duck
and
hat.
Then when they made the switch, he then takes off the jersey and underneath is the Mason Rudolph. And he starts cheering.
Being a fan's a mental illness.
And just to let you know, how much money is a jersey for Rudolph and Hodges?
That's like $300.
Oh my God, to buy those jerseys when you're probably going to wear them how many times?
You know, it's like all these millennials who's like, I can't afford a house. I can't afford to have kids.
It's
because you're buying Mason Rudolph and Doug Hodges jerseys.
And it's so that you could have a video of it if that time were to happen and then post it online for at least 500,000 views. That's what the world is,
it's
man.
It's sickening.
That's what the Black Mirror episode where you get paid and everything like that by how you're ranked. That's what the world's going to turn into.
Sickening.
It's what it is. And what it is how I live.
I had a good tweet on Christmas Day. You ready for it?
Yeah. God. So, Merry Christmas.
Does anybody know of a good divorce lawyer? My wife got me a PFF subscription today.
Why?
One person
you love Pro Football Focus.
One person thought I was serious. He's like, well, at the least, she's going to take your job. At the worst, she's going to take your house and car. Hopefully y'all can do. Y'all two can work it out. Best wishes. I said thank you.
Is that? What is that? The word?
I was dying laughing though.
That's awful.
So we're gonna. This game doesn't matter. I guess your pick real fast. I'm gonna go Baltimore 20. I'm gonna go Baltimore 17. Pittsburgh 10.
I was gonna say Baltimore 17. Wait, what's the point differential?
The Steelers are 2-point favorites.
Oh man, I'm not. See, I got Baltimore 17. I got Pittsburgh 14. RG3 is going to pull this out.
He's playing for a big contract next year, too.
Yeah.
So we have the same picks this week. We're going to go 0-4 again.
God.
So tonight's show, instead of talk more about this game that doesn't matter at all, like, oh, the Baltimore Ravens are leading the league in blitz rate, and what's more important, pass rush or coverage? We'll talk briefly
about
the end of our decade, some of our favorite things. So my first question for you, Taylor, is what was your favorite NFL moment this decade?
Wait, this decade?
Yeah, in the 2010s.
So, if you're talking about like just watching a game or just something that I can always stick with?
Just like a moment. I just like one snippet of time.
But it's a game for me. I'm going to really say that it was
the
Peyton Manning versus the Romo game. Because I laugh about it till this day.
Oh, when he did the sneak touchdown. 500
yards versus 500 yards, and Romo throws the pick to end the game in the end.
Yeah.
And the score is like 58 to like 55. That's one of like my favorite moments, because I've never been like so hyped and like how crazy it was. And then just, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm still a fan of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Tony Romo's still a quarterback.
Yeah.
All I remember about that game is Peyton Manning's sneak touchdown.
Oh, I remember that's everything. Remember it was like the first time he's ever scored a touchdown, like a rushing touchdown in like 10 years, or he's done it one other time in
and
his
it took
life.
Him 25 seconds to run 3 yards.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. So that's probably my biggest moment, only because I can remember that so vividly. So I'm going to go with that one.
Mine has to be the Texans beating the Patriots and the Bradley Roby pick six that was like, oh, wait, this thing that's never happened, or the thing that has to happen for this thing to have happened finally happened. And so, yeah, that's the most important thing.
Oh, didn't that happen?
Yeah, happened
so your favorite,
4 weeks ago.
So your favorite moment took the entire 10 years to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, so the rest of the time was just...
I mean, I guess my favorite game is probably Houston being Denver with Schaub with the bloody ear and Peyton Manning's team and everything else. Because I hate Peyton Manning. And
hey, man, I saw Peyton Manning's last regular season game. No big deal.
In Denver.
Yeah, I was there in the crowd.
But he played another regular season game the week after.
No, he
didn't. On the road.
No, he did not.
He did.
Oh, my God.
You saw his last
game.
No,
he didn't.
It
was the last game. It was the last game.
It's not true. We're already at an hour. I don't know if you keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Okay. We have to do the movies.
So for the movies, we'll do best sci-fi, best comic book, best horror, best picture, and I don't know. We don't need to do drama. That's weak.
No. Well, I mean, horror can really cover that as well.
So is your best sci-fi movie?
So best sci-fi, only because it stuck with me for so long, even over Arrival, I'm going Ex Machina.
Me too.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, 100%.
We didn't even talk about this before. Ooh. And I've seen more movies than you.
A lot more movies than me.
Yeah, and that even beats like Upgrade for me. That beats Arrival for me.
Ex
Machina was good.
The dancing scene is so good. When he's dancing with the two robots, you're like, this guy is unbelievable.
I loved how crazy he was. But I also just enjoy with Ex Machina, where you know you're just like, dude, don't tell her. She doesn't love you. She doesn't love you. She's not a normal person.
Oh, I know.
You have to look at her as a robot.
And how he made her based off his pornography searches, too.
Oh, and how mean and messed up that is.
He is so mean to him.
There's only 4 people total in
that
movie.
And, like, he thinks he's special, too. And you're like, is this guy special? No, he's not special.
No, he's not special at all.
No.
He's just somebody.
Yeah. He's like, you're a loser.
See, that's what I go with.
Yeah. And then maybe, I guess, there's going to be spoilers, I guess.
What are you talking about? Of course there's spoilers if it's Ex Machina. It's the best movies of the decade.
Yeah,
there's 4 people in the movie. The dude's a piece of crap, but the main guy is so wonderful. And then the girl, dude.
She's awesome. Is she anything else at all?
I don't think so.
The last scene's great. And it takes place in Iceland, too. There's a lot of waterfalls.
Yeah, actually awesome. The place that they're at is really badass.
Yeah. So best comic book movie. I have Batman versus Superman. Because I got drunk as hell. And saw that movie in the theater, and it was the funniest movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
The Martha scene is hands down. It's incredible. Wait, we have the same mother's name? Did we become best friends? And then afterwards, my brother and I, we had like a 2-hour-long conversation about it afterwards, and it was one of the most fun times I've ever had at going to the movie. So, Batman vs. Superman. I'll never watch the movie again. The only scene I'll ever watch is when he's in the desert, and it's like Apocalypse Batman. And they should just make a movie like that, where it's like the end of the world and he's in the desert. That version of Batman. Like Mad Max Batman, I want to see that movie.
Yeah, absolutely not. I actually took this question seriously.
I'm being serious.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
That's a terrible movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a terrible movie.
It's one of the most fun.
I'm a DC fan over a Marvel fan. That's a god-awful movie. I don't want to hear that at all. The best movie. It's Infinity. Come on. It's Infinity War. It's the build-up. It's the moment. It's what everybody was waiting for. It's everything, all the years, all the hard work of storytelling.
That's the second one. That's not Endgame.
No, it's the first one.
The one before Endgame. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Endgame. No. I'm being very clear. It's part one of that little 2-part, 5-hour movie. Infinity's the best. It's nonstop. It's 2.5 hours. It feels like it's not.
Yeah, you never
check
your watch.
You never check it. You're constantly watching the screen. You can still watch it till this day over and over again. There are moments, and the best one of all, they lose in the end.
Yeah.
It's a superhero film when they lose. Come on. You can't get any better than that.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only downside to it is, you know, they're all going to come back again.
Kind of. But you also,
but like, you don't really
care,
though,
how.
Because it's, yeah. I guess I knew they were going to come back, but it never happened. I was like, I only knew because they're all going to come back because Black Panther died. I was Black Panther
too.
Made too much money.
And you're like, Spider-Man comes out in 3 months. How can he die?
He's not going anywhere. But I didn't really even care because that movie was very good. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I had more fun watching Batman versus Superman.
Whatever.
So the next category we have here is horror. I think we have the same movie here.
We're going to have the same one here.
I picked Hereditary.
It's Hereditary, of course. Hereditary should always be up there. And it's this easy. It's always doing something where you don't expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
Where even when you expect a mother, whenever they're doing a seance trance, to then have a demon voice, and what comes out of her is a little girl voice, has never been so terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
When now all of a sudden, when you look in a corner and if it's a little shaded, you feel like you can see a person. That's what Hereditary does. It stuck with me for 2 weeks of nonstop of me feeling like I can see things in a corner when there was shade.
I guess Inception, I mean, not Inception, but Insidious is kind of like that too.
Insidious like, didn't give me that.
They just show like the guy everywhere. And I think Insidious is my second favorite just because I saw, I think, with two of our friends, and the movie was starting, and I was just like farting the whole time. We're just laughing.
That's good.
And then the movie's about to come on.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
And we're like, yeah, you weren't there.
Yeah, I know.
And
I was invited.
Like, oh, wait, this may actually be scary. After like 5 minutes, like, when we got like really serious and into it. After like the mood
after
changed.
After you farted?
Before. No, I stopped farting.
Okay.
But we're just like giggling, having really fun, laughing a lot. And they're like, oh, wait, this may actually be good. But my favorite thing about Hereditary, it's even better the second time too, because there's so many little things he puts in the movie to really like show you the plot. They don't tell you anything, and I really appreciate that. Yeah. I'm so tired of everything treating everybody like babies. Like, oh, I got to tell you every single thing. I got to hold your hand throughout the entire time. I got to walk you through every single little thing. No, just show me. I can think a little bit. Let me fill in the rest. And Hereditary does a really great job showing you everything, not telling you. And you can really pick up down the second time. I think a great example of that is her like weird church or whatever to try to get her to join do the seance. She puts something in the mail, but they never check the mail. And then she ends up going to the grief counseling. There's a lot of little moments like that that you don't really pick up on the first time they're there. You know, the second time, the third time.
Best comedy.
I haven't even saw a funny movie this decade.
What are you talking about? You never saw a funny movie this decade. Grand Budapest wins.
I never saw it.
I'm going to say best comedy, Grand Budapest, because it's just a masterpiece where you just have everything you could ever want. It's a classic Wes Anderson film of him just playing off little figurines that look like toys, plastic mache building sets, and just everything is so simplified, but yet the characters are so great, colors are so bright, story is so simple but yet complicated, and once again it's a 2.5 hour movie that doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always think is the most impressive things about movies, where you can be sitting there for that long and it feels like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just feel bad.
You don't have a comedy?
One that I haven't seen this movie after you told me to see it for like, I guess the last 5 years or so.
The last 5 years.
And two, I can't think of one at all.
You got drama?
Yeah, my drama is Sicario, but I don't know if that counts as a drama.
That counts as a drama. Okay. And by the way, Sicario is overrated.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. The main character's weak, man.
No, she's great.
No, man, she's weak. She should be more of a badass, but she's not.
Yeah,
Sicario's completely
that's
weak.
That's what you want in such a masculine, you know, society where you expect everything to be tough and strong. And any sign of weakness, you can't even comprehend.
That's not.
But it. I think the reason why I love her in that movie, though, it's that you see the movie from her point of view, and so like the last like, you know, 30 minutes of it, and you have no idea what's going on. She has no idea what's going on, and you're like kept in the dark the entire time. And then like slowly it keeps opening up a little bit more and more and more, and then it just kind of like the whole fabric of the movie's universe, you know, rips apart like the last 30 minutes or so. You're like, oh, okay, it's all terrible and everything else. The worst sequel, though, has to be Sicario 2, and that was my least favorite movie this decade as well. God, I hate Sicario 2.
Yeah, Sicario 1's overrated. Sicario 2, I wasn't even going to bother.
Sicario 1's spectacular.
All right, all I know is that I'm going to go with some Andy Sorkin here. It has to be some Social Network and Steve Jobs. I'll put them in the same boat. That's just because both movies, strictly all dialogue. You don't have to have the action, and yet you still have those dark moments where you're stressed in certain situations, and they have some of the best moments I've ever seen in film.
I still haven't seen a Social Network.
What is the matter with you?
I don't
Why
know.
Haven't you seen it? That has one of the best moments. And Justin Timberlake's in it. And he's a piece of crap. And he's great.
I'm sure. I guess Boyhood. That was my favorite dramas, too.
Boyhood?
I love Boyhood.
The 3-hour one?
Yeah.
Man, it's too long. The no, only really It's a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
It's a good movie.
It's a gimmick.
And the only reason, I mean, the reason why I really liked it, I can understand why you know, other people don't, but like, I really connected with the movie. Like, there are so many things in there that I've experienced in my own personal life. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I know that. I know that. I've been through this. Yeah, I've seen that. I've walked through that before. I've been through this before. I'm
connected more with Benjamin Button.
And also, when I was watching, I was in the desert, and I was, you know, far away from home. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's me looking at the stars right now.
No, there's no
Yeah, it's me
stars.
with the punk hair
no,
and the leather jacket.
No, that's not what I mean at
That's
all.
What I do.
I never said, oh, yeah,
oh, that
was me.
And that movie
me.
Was being shot in San Marcos, too. Saying,
yeah, there's scenes in San Marcos there. And then... like the you know the drunk you know his mom's drunk boyfriend, the desert scenes at the end, like the waking up in Austin like 4 o'clock in the morning just like walking you know to your car or whatever. I've really liked to look at dead animals when I was a child.
That's good.
And the movie opens up with him looking at dead birds. It's a joke, by the way. I killed them myself, you know. So
I love that I don't acknowledge it. You're just like it's a joke.
Is
I'm not, glad that you have to clarify.
Yeah. So my favorite movie this decade, The Tree of Life.
What?
Yeah.
Favorite movie of the decade is Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think it's the best. Wait. It's a movie that shows the best.
I was gonna say mine.
Well, I think it's the best interpretation of what it means to be of what it is to be alive, and Probably how beautiful being alive is, and yeah, The Tree of Life is spectacular. Have you seen it?
Of course, I've seen it.
It's
not that spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not that good.
I watched it. I cried for like 2 hours.
Wait, you're talking about Tree of Life with Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that good.
I cried for like 2 hours. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again.
It's not that good.
It's unbelievable.
No, it's not unbelievable.
It is.
You act like that it's Birdman or something like that.
I mean, I haven't seen Birdman, but it's better than Birdman.
All right, so my favorite movie of the decade is probably Steve Jobs. And that's just because I love everything about it. This is a very biased pick. There's no doubt in my mind. But I'm going to go with Steve Jobs because, once again, it's a movie where it's all dialogue. And it's Michael Fassbender just being so great. You're just showing how a genius is. And I just love even scenes with freaking Seth Rogen. It's the best Seth Rogen scene I've ever watched when they're just arguing for 10 minutes.
Is Bill Gates in it?
No.
I
don't remember Bill Gates.
That's
no,
the
Bill
Apple
Gates is
movie
not in
I want to see. I want to see the Bill Gates Steve Jobs movie.
I don't want to see that one.
That's all I want to see.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my numero uno.
Okay, that's fair. I have a favorite scene here.
Ooh.
And my favorite scene is the end of Annihilation.
Which one's the end of the Annihilation with the...
with a silver creature and like everything's just like really colorful. And
where they're fighting and wrestling in the little place.
They're not really fighting at all.
They're like wrestling and it keeps like jumping on top of it and squeezing into the wall.
It's more just like whenever it just everything morphs, and it's like really colorful and it's extraordinary. I have no idea what it means. I just love it.
Okay. I would say favorite scene. There's so many. Because it's also like jaw-dropping. What is it, like favorite just most enjoyable or is it jaw-dropping?
Yeah, whatever you want it to be.
You know what? If it's whatever I want it to be, then I'll be a little bit weird right now. I'm going to choose La La Land, the very end scene with Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, whenever it shows them throughout the life that they would have had if they would have stayed together. But in the end, they decided to separate because they felt like it was better for their careers.
Interesting.
So it goes through their life at the end.
That's
cool.
What
would have happened.
And
at the very end, they separate.
Interesting.
I love it so much. And that's probably my favorite moment. Only because it hurt. And at the same time, it was such a good build up to it.
Yeah. That is interesting. That's kind of what Marriage Story is about, though. But But it's like the inverse of it.
But that's like that's what I mean by La La Land, like made it a little bit fun. It's sad, yeah. Don't get me wrong, but they made it a little bit lighthearted. While Marriage Story and same thing in Blue Valentine, let me just go and kill myself.
It's not that depressing. Marriage Story is more like you give up stuff to be in a relationship with somebody, and she does understand that, and then she breaks up their marriage over it. And then they threw in this like bad subplot and try to, you know, water down her fault for it.
Oh, by the way, shout out to About Time with Rachel McAdams and the same redheaded dude from Ex Machina. That movie needs to be a shout for best romantic film. I'm just going to throw this out there because beginning to end, it's so funny. And you think it's a chick flick, but it's not. I swear to God, you'll look at the cover and you'll say, Taylor, there's something wrong.
Yeah,
you
told me to watch this movie.
But it's just funny and it's great. Matt, it's pretty much you.
Well, I must be awful then. Well, lastly here, my five favorite albums. You want this real fast?
Yeah.
Well, I guess these are the five best albums.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me your five best albums.
Number one is Goodness by The Hotelier. You know, everybody says something like, yeah, this book or this movie, this album changed my life. It very rarely ever does, but in this case it did. Mainly because it changed completely how I look at nature and the natural world. And it's gave me like a much better like understanding of how important everything is, from like, you know, the ant chewing on the leaf up to, you know, the sun in the sky. And it's beautiful. And just like if you listen to it, it makes you see things as well too in a way. But and also it led to me reading much of different, you know, poetry and books I would have read otherwise, that this album kind of led us to jumping off point. And it gave me a much better understanding of, you know, these places that I've loved so dearly.
My favorite album is The Midnight, Endless Summer. If you have not listened to The Midnight,
I don't know what that is.
Just look at 80s like movie montage moments. It's that type of music that's
over
playing
and
in
over
the background.
And over again.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Not your five albums. I need one album.
That's good.
That's all I need.
Second half is To Pimp a Butterfly.
Oh God.
By Kendrick Lamar. That's like, I mean, it's like a Faulkner novel, but it's a rap album, and he's the best rapper of all time. Three, I have Time and Space by... He is, 100%.
Okay.
Three I have is Time and Space by Turnstile, which is 20
Nick
minutes.
Nick Cannon's the best rapper of all time. Dude, he's burying Eminem right now.
Oh, he came out with a diss track?
Dude, he came out with three diss tracks.
Four, I have Joyce Maynard's first album, which again, loud, fast, 20 minutes out. And then five, I have The Suburbs by Arcade Fire.
That one's gross.
It's
Arcade
beautiful.
Fire's overrated.
No, they're not overrated.
Yeah,
overrated. I think they're kind of underrated now.
No, I think they're overrated.
No, I mean, The Suburbs is one of the best albums this decade, and people didn't like their two after that, which is fine. You know, I can understand why.
No, overrated.
I was listening to it the other day. I was cleaning the house. I was like, actually, I kind of like this. The ones that nobody likes at all anymore.
It's overrated, just like Josh Allen, James Winston album. That's what it is.
It's
the Allen Winston album.
No, it's not. Well, I guess you could say like Infinite Content would be the Baker Mayfield of quarterbacks.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's completely created by the internet and it doesn't mean anything at all. So to recap, I have Tennessee 27-20. You have Tennessee 35-22. Bill O'Brien, I know you don't listen because you're cloistered in a shell of your own consciousness. But maybe if you opened up a little bit, you understand this. Don't play your starters. Stop running the ball on first down. Learn how to develop an offense that Will Fuller as well, too. Play action's good. Use it. Run more bootlegs. Get Deshaun Watson out of the pocket. Second, we have Washington, Dallas. The Cowboys are 11-point favorites. I have Dallas 30-20. You have Dallas 28-21.
Coward.
Then we have San Francisco at Seattle. San Francisco 3.5-point favorites on the road. I have San Francisco 28-23. You have San Francisco 31-26. And lastly, Baltimore trying to keep the Steelers out of the playoffs. I have Baltimore 17-10. You have Baltimore 17-14. I think RG3 is going to beat them.
Me too. I think he's going
to
come back.
I'm excited to watch RG3 in that offense.
I'm not. I'm probably not.
Watch him run a little bit.
I'm going to be watching other things and probably crying.
I watched Red Zone last week for the first time this year. I was like, this was a lot of fun. I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
It's great whenever like you don't have a dog in the fight.
And
you know?
Have nothing to do and you could just watch it all day.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, okay, I'll just watch it on condensed later and understand it better. But
it's
yeah,
nice.
Red Zone was fun. Red Zone entering the Cowboys loss was fun.
Yeah, I hate you.
Don't hate me.
I hate everything.
So that's our Week 17 preview. A quick little end of the decade list. And like, probably don't even watch the Texans this weekend. Watch The Tree of Life instead.
No, watch Grand Budapest.
No, watch the
Watch Ex Machina. Watch About Time. Watch Steve Jobs. Don't watch Tree of Life.
Watch Tree of Life. Watch Sicario.
Don't watch Sicario. It's overrated.
Get really drunk by yourself and watch Batman vs. Superman.
You can do that. That's still fine.
Watch Hereditary.
Yeah, no matter what, do that.
Watch Ex Machina.
Dude.
I think my favorite performance this decade. You ready?
What's your favorite performance?
Toni Collette in Hereditary.
Man, she didn't even get nominated. That was such a slight. I was so disgusted with that. I'm still going to say the best performance is probably going to go to Joaquin as Joker.
Yeah, this decade?
Yeah, of this decade. I can't think of a better performance.
Yeah, he's good.
He hurt himself. You have to give me the only other one that I could think of is Leo in Django.
Yeah,
I
he's
hate
good
Django,
in that
but
too.
Leo is great.
I mean, I like Django, but it's just 45 minutes too long.
I agree with you. But yeah. Leo is so good in that movie. That's his best role ever.
I want to watch The Master again.
I'm not watching that.
The Master's good.
No, it's not. It's not better than Her.
I still haven't seen Her either.
Okay, then you're not watching The Master until you watch Her.
Fine. All right, that's fair.
Okay.
It's fair. There's a lot of things to do as I enter the shamanhood. So that's our show for tonight. It was way too long, but, you know, it happens after. We could finish this after
You know
what
happens
hour.
After dark, wink, wink.
Yeah, after 7 o'clock at night. But in the meantime, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for being on tonight, Taylor. Enjoy the rest of your Christmas. I'll see you next decade. Probably not. I'll probably see you in a few days. But and then we'll be back on this Monday to talk about what happened in the Texans-Titans game. We'll be back on next week to preview the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, which is my second favorite sports week of the year. My favorite weekend, of course, is the weekend after the divisional round.
I'll see you next year.
So, until next time. I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Red Radio. And thank you for being on Side Taylor.
The Alice Winston.
That sounded good to me.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.